Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody. That was Total Praise by Richard Smallwood. It's a blessing to praise the Lord in the morning, at noontime, at night, all over the time, to give God his praise and his worship. So we thank you so much for tuning in to A Time of Reflection with New Destiny Ministries, where we're empowering souls for destiny. Our founding host is Evangelist Adrian Bernard, and I am your co-host at this time, Ruby Larry. A Time of Reflection is a radio broadcast that will encourage, enrich, enhance, enlighten, and empower listeners to trust God in every area of their life. We want to be naturally and spiritually, and to pursue their God-given destiny without apologies. We are mandated to teach and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ as we stand firmly upon our foundational scripture and are built upon the foundations of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And you can find that in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20. I was reading it from the King James Version. We air Monday through Friday at 1 p.m. Our Saturday segment airs at 5 a.m. Pacific time with Minister Billy Burns, and early Sunday morning prayer at 7 a.m. It's a corporate prayer. If Lord leads you, everybody is invited to come on and participate in the corporate prayer unto the Lord before you go to your houses of worship. Tune in expecting and to receive fresh oil from God Almighty. The call-in number is 58-683-1334. It's for all of our segments on this air. Please email us at newdestinyministries54@gmail.com or mail any prayer requests or praise report you would like us to share on the broadcast to New Destiny Ministries, P.O. Box 5702, Stockton, California, 95205. Also, we invite you to like our New Destiny Ministry page on Facebook, and we're on Twitter at New Destiny 54. And listen online also at www.newdestinyministries.com to hear our archive messages like I'm speaking now. You can go there. And we appreciate and we are thankful for our tremendous support of the godly men and women that willingly share the anointed, powerful word of God with each of you and us on this broadcast that call in and those that visit the broadcast by internet or in the chat room. And we ask you to continue to pray for this ministry that God's will be done. And with that, I'm going to Evangelist Bernard. She's on the line, and then she can introduce Pastor Hamilton. Evangelist Bernard? Okay. So we're going to go to you, Pastor Hamilton. Praise the Lord. God bless you, man of God.
Well, amen. Hello, family. Know you are loved and appreciated, highly esteemed and favored in the name of Jesus. What a great God we serve. What an awesome God that we serve. I just thank God for each and every one that is tuning in today, and I just pray complete blessings over you. We are excited to continue in the study of Acts, to find the principles that will lead us to building the church on the foundation of Jesus Christ and following the example of the apostles to go forth and make disciples, to go forth and make disciples. So Heavenly Father God, we thank you today, Lord. We come before you, Lord, humble. We come before you decreasing of self right now, Lord Jesus. We say, Lord, not our will, but your will be done. Heavenly Father God, we ask that your anointing flow through this call today, Lord, that everyone is under the sound of my voice would be in attention mode, that, Lord, we will put ourselves in focus, that we will demand from ourselves more than we demanded yesterday. And Heavenly Father God, we just ask that you touch each and every one of us, Lord, that you give us the ability to comprehend your word clearly. We ask you to give us the ability to see through perception your word from the letter form to the spirit form. And Heavenly Father God, we give you mostly all the praise. We give you all the glory. We give you all the attention. Lord, we put all our focus on you right now, Lord, that we know that with you we can do all things, but without you we can do nothing. So, Lord, touch us today. Lead us today. And, Lord, teach us how to be better at what you called us to be. your disciples to go and make more disciples. So, Heavenly Father God, we thank you. We praise you and we manifest you in Jesus' name. Now, Heavenly Father God, we pray for New Destiny Ministry, Heavenly Father God, as we have partnered with them, that we are, as we are in covenant with them. Lord, we just ask you to continue to bless this awesome ministry. We ask you to continue to protect the mighty women of God that are leading us here, that Evangelist Bernard and Minister Ruby, Heavenly Father God, that through their dedication, that through their commitment, Heavenly Father God, we will learn to be better stewards, that we will learn, Lord, to follow you directly and to follow your instructions. So we thank you for their example, and we ask for a special anointing to go around and about them. Lord, we protect them. We cover them, Lord, and we anoint them right now in the name of Jesus. So we thank you for them, and we praise you, Lord, for them to be in our lives. And all in agreement said, amen, amen, amen. Well, welcome to another Provoked Friday. Welcome to another opportunity to search God's word in principle form, that we could find out the true nuggets of his word, that we can leave this place different than we came, changed, rearranged, and transformed by the renewing of our mind. Amen? Amen. Well, God bless. Chapter 15. Wow, we get to chapter 15, and there are some significant things that happen here. And before we get start the reading, I just want to share a little bit that, first of all, chapter 15, it's most important because it was a meeting of the early church. It was a meeting that concerned it concerned the future and the state of where the church would be set. You know, the Bible told us that if the Gentiles could be, that if they could enter the church without following the Jewish laws, the church will attract more Gentiles. So the church was in a transition stage. Who do we go after? Who do we pull in? Who do we call? But God tells us that all, remember we talked about this last week, that all have the right to the tree of life. We established last week that everyone will be saved. Everyone will be forgiven. Everyone will come. We're not going to even accept the fact that we leave anyone behind. But our words and our motivation and our commitment is that we leave no one behind. As we go through learning the steps of the apostles, we will set a standard that everyone will come to the Lord. Everyone will give their lives to him as their own personal, come on, say that word with me, personal savior, that he will now become a one-on-one in relationship with us, and that we can learn through him that anything he did, we have the ability, we have the potential, I like that word, we have the potential to do whatever God says we can do. Now let's stop there at potential, because potential gives us, potential says that we have the ability to do anything. Potential tells us that we can reach, that we can obtain a goal, that we can complete an assignment, that no longer do we have to go about things on woulda, coulda, shoulda, but now we can step into the realm that is already done. And by God already doing it, it now gives us a prime example how to follow instructions. So one of the things that we're going to touch on is that as we follow these lessons and as we hear all this great word that comes from the great men and women of God connected with New Destiny, the main objective here is that we must, family, follow instructions. We can no longer go along on our own understanding. The word says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not, what? On your own understanding. And on top of that, we must acknowledge him in everything we do. That's not our will, but his will being done. See, when you submit totally unto him, when you decrease of self and say, no longer me, that means we can really get into these principles and start to live them personally, that it makes a direct, effective change in our lives. When? Immediately. When? Now. I know, I don't know about you, but I'm tired of waiting. I don't know about you. I don't want to get into a realm of 5-year, 10-year plans. I want an immediate plan because I serve an immediate God that can move into my life when? Immediately. When we activate our faith by following instructions. Amen. Amen. So we were talking about potential. Potential, to have the potential to do what we're being taught here in Acts tells us that anything is conceivable. Potential tells me that anything is imaginable. Anything is probable. Anything is obtainable. And most of all, anything is doable when we do and we follow the potential that is given to us through Jesus Christ. Once you know the potential of what you can do and what's available to you, you now must go through preparation. Preparation is now making an active move. It's processing your faith. It's processing your belief. It's processing your truth. It's processing your trust in God as the source. And we talked about this in our birthrights, is that as we regain our birthrights, we understand that God must be the source of everything. So while we're in service, preparation is now stepping into duty. Preparation is now saying, "Test me, Lord." As we learned in chapter 10 last week, we learned that by suffering for God, we must rejoice. Peter and them were beat. And we talked about this. They were beat so severely that they had scars and whips and bruises and dents. I mean, can you imagine? They didn't whip each people back then with a small belt. There were cats of nine tails. There were clubs. They were stoned. So this had to be a crucial experience to go through. And the biggest thing through preparation that they were willing to do is that they were willing to go through anything to be put in the same category as Christ. They found joy. They found pleasure. They found accomplishment in their potential because they were just found in the same as Jesus Christ. You know, I was teaching last night, and it was such a revelatory word. It's because, you know, for Jesus to leave heaven and come to this place, earth, had to be a monumental sacrifice. A lot of us overlook that, I think, that because we think it was just a simple transition. But, you know, in heaven, it says the streets are paved with gold. Heaven is a place of joy. Heaven is a place of answered prayer. Heaven is a place of it already being done. Everything there has been finished and complete. So it has to be a place of joy. It can't be a place that you found yourself, you know, struggling. You don't find yourself wondering. You are in such a realm of joy with God that there's no lack, there's no need, there's no worries, there's no pain. So Jesus left the comfort. Watch this. He left the comfort of heaven to come here to earth to give us an example of preparation. He put it in the process. He taught us, as the apostles will show us here in 15, that he showed us through example how to go through with purpose. Step two, and provoke to purpose. You must go through with purpose. Let's stop just going through just to go through. Let's stop preparing ourselves without knowing what we're preparing ourselves for. Let's have a plan. Let's have an agenda. Let's have a principle set that we can go through and follow instructions. So once we got our potential, and we now understand that with potential, we know what we can do. But now it tells us that we must go into preparation to now find out how to do it. Now, once you have went through preparation, you now can set yourself in position to receive the promise. The promise is an indication of what's to come. A promise is a structure that if you follow instructions, you can, you will, and you shall receive everything that God says you can have. Power. You can receive power. You have not been given a spirit of fear, but a power and a might. So as we go through this chapter 15, let's search out our potential. Let's get ready for the preparation it will take for us to get ready to do what we have the potential to do. And then as we give God all the glory and all the praise and all the honor, and we set him a high, we put him on the throne, we put him in a position that we respect him without any rivalry. If it's God, there's no other question or answer to come. It's God's way and only God's way. No, we can't second think. We can't question. We can't question anymore. To be so willing to die for the promise, so willing to give up ourselves for the promise. And the promise is that if you sow a good seed, so shall you reap. See, when we go and make disciples, family, we have to go prepared. We have to go so when we make disciples, we replicate not ourselves, but the Christ in us and the example that he has shown us to do his work in excellence. Simple as this. We must follow instructions. So as we go forth, and as we get deep into this word right now, let us prepare ourselves to look for the potential God has just for you. Potential today in Christ. And then the willingness to take another step higher and step into preparation. See, a lot of us will get a word on our potential, and before we even get prepared, we want to already move in the promise, and we fail. And we dishonor God, and we put things before him. Because when we love God, that means we give him all of our attention. That means that we sacrifice all of our own needs for his. That means that we die of self. John 3:30 says, he will increase, but I must decrease. See, when you decrease in the Lord, you're preparing yourself to walk as he did. Because the first step he did was leave heaven to come here. That was decrease. Then he walked on the earth and he was, you know, he just had so many obstacles to come against him. That was decrease. He saved everyone except himself. He laid himself on the altar for us. That was sacrifice. See, the example that God has shown us is that we must sacrifice. We must give of ourselves to see something greater in someone else. In all of the lessons that we learned so far from chapter 1 to chapter 15, we see an example of men and women willing to give of themselves to see something better in someone else. See, that's discipleship. That's disciple making. When you're willing to see someone else elevated over you, when you're willing to see someone else be blessed before you, when you're willing to see someone else get healed before you. Now, watch this. There's going to be an evolution that happens here, because when you give of yourself, God will already give to you. If you had a sickness and you prayed for someone else's healing and their sickness, God will heal you automatically just because of your example to decrease, to die of self, to no longer worry about me anymore. See, there we go again. Here, go with me. Whoosh. Just get it out the way, because we must get out the way. We must follow God's instructions and his examples to decrease. Every step he took was a decrease of himself. He was God Almighty. He could do whatever. He had the power to do whatever he spoke. His word was so eloquent and so dynamic and so changing that all it took was one word. Example. But most of all, even God in flesh form knew how to follow instructions. And family, that's what we must do. We must prepare ourselves to follow instructions. And if we're going to get into God's word, and get into it real deep. We are going to explore the mysteries that will now become miraculous. We are going to comprehend what we didn't comprehend yesterday because we're willing to prepare ourselves to go higher. We're willing to prepare ourselves to go farther. We're willing to prepare ourselves to go longer because the battle will not end. It will continue. You must fight the good fight of faith constantly. You must go and make disciples constantly. Just because you went and got five and you were able to assist five into becoming disciples does not graduate you, family. What it does is it elevates you to go and do more. No matter every obstacle Christ went up against, he did more. Head first through the obstacle so he could come out with an example for us to live a holy life here on earth. So let's get ready to get this word. Let's explore. Let's open our minds up. Let's come in agreement right now that, Lord, I need you to speak to me today. I need your word to show me personally what is in this word just for me. Yes, Pastor E has a word, and it can be preached, and I can get a nugget. But today, let's go a little higher. Let's get in this word together, and let's expound, and let's make it personal. Let's say today, chapter 15 is just for me. Nobody else. Come on, put everybody else out the way. But make this a personal declaration to God that, Lord, chapter 15 today is for me. I want the golden nuggets to come out. I want the secrets to be revealed. I want the mysteries to perform into miraculous. I want to see your letter in spirit. I want to perceive what your word is saying today. We thank you, Lord. We decrease and we say, not our words, not our thoughts, not our movements, not our acronyms. Lord, your word, go forth. Have your way. We totally submit to you right now that your will be done. Amen. Chapter 15, verse 1. And a certain man came down from Judea and taught the brethren, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. Stop right there. First of all, in preparation, we must stop paying so much attention to man's word. We need to start paying attention to God's word and God's word only. See, there's a word that comes forth, but it must come forth through the word of God. See, I could give you a piece of my mind, or I could give you my opinion, and you'll normally live and make decisions according to my peace of mind and my opinion. Right here, we see that the man came. Men came down from Judea and taught the brethren, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses. They had to be religious leaders for them to be able to speak on the customs of Moses. They had to study the scriptures. They had to study the scrolls. So these men were now delivering not the word of God, because we should be now living by the word that Jesus came forth, but they were living by man's word. They were living by covenants. They were living by posters and signs and things that man had derived. First thing off, in preparation, you must depend on God's word and God's word only. Because God says we all can be saved. But man telling you that if you don't do this, that, or this, you can't be saved according to the law. Jesus came to kill the law, to break the law. He broke the bondage of law, and he gave us a spiritual relationship that we can now live by the Spirit. You can be saved. No. You will be saved. No. Better than that, you are saved. Because it's already been done. See, in the transference from heaven to earth, we have to get in line so we can pull down what has already been said about me. Remember, this is personal. Remember, this is just about you. So if it's already been done in heaven, I gotta prepare myself to get in line with his word and his word only. Let's stop depending on, believe me, I'm not hating or saying that books don't come with revelation. But if you're not building your system on God's word, then you'll have too much other stuff influencing you away from God's word. See, my opinion can be a great opinion, but if it's not based on God's word, that's just my opinion. And most of us will take and we'll receive and we'll start to move or maneuver our lives according to someone else's opinion. How many people will not do what you're supposed to do because you're worried about what some man or some woman is going to think? See, that's following man's word. But God says do it, but you're ashamed because you think your friend down the street is going to look at you a certain way or condemn you. See, that's living by man's word. We must, family, step one, get out of following anything other than God's word and God's word only. Verse 2, therefore, when Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and dispute with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas must certain others of them should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and the elders about this. Right there. Family, it shows me that there will be some differences of opinions. Everything that is revealed to you may be revealed to someone else a different way. There's always a difference of opinion. There's going to be always a time when you must go and ask a question to God. We must take our dissension to the church. We must take it back, the originator, because he's the source of everything. How can I get a dispute handled if I take it to just a normal man? I'm going to get a normal man's way of fixing the problem, which will normally lead me into destruction. But if I follow God's word and take everything back to him, see, we're back into the realm of birthright. He must be the source of everything. So when there's a dispute, we don't take it to the counselor. We take it to the counselor. We don't go to the doctor. We go to the doctor. See, we must take everything and place it on the altar and let God show us how to get these things in order. But just for a free one for you, you're not going to always agree with everybody. That does not make him a lesser man or a lesser woman of God or yourself. But what it says is that we need to get some clarity, and we have to get clarity through who? God and only God. So being sent on their way, verse 3, so being sent on their way by the church, they passed through Phrygia and Samaria, describing the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy to all the brethren. See, when you give testimony, you're going to bring great joy. And if you don't see joy on somebody, that means that they may not be a part of what you're a part of. Because when you confirm the word of God, you should see nothing but the evidence of joy. You should see nothing but the evidence of praise. We give a testimony, and everybody around wants to lift their hands and praise. And not just praise because you were blessed. Praise because if he blessed you, what he said, he'll do the same for me just as he did for you. When I see you blessed, I have joy. Not only because he blessed you, but because now that's showing me he can bless me too. 4, and when they had come to Jerusalem, they were received by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they reported all things that God had done with them. You got to tell somebody. If God is doing something in you or for you, you better tell somebody. Stop holding it in. Stop thinking that your testimony is not good enough. Stop thinking that somebody heard the same testimony last week. No, when God does something good for you, you must shout from the mountain. You must tell somebody. You must let it go. 5, but some of the sect of the Pharisees who believed rose up saying, Is it necessary to circumcise them and to command them to keep the laws of Moses? 6. So the apostles and the elders came together to consider this matter. And when they had much dispute, Peter rose up and said to them, "Men and brethren, you know that a good while ago God chose among us that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe." See, when there's opposition, somebody must stand up and profess that God is in control. See, we let stuff go on too long. We allow too many disputes and too many arguments. You know, it says that you shouldn't go to sleep mad or without a situation being handled. But how many times do we just watch other people going through something that we know all we have to do is remind them that God is in control, that God called us, God chose us, God put us in the position we're in. God says what we can do, when we can do it, and how we can do it. A lot of times, just by your profession of making a declaration that God is in control, it can handle the whole problem. Because a lot of times, it's not what's being said, it's how it's being said. So when stuff gets rough, we have to be the first one to stand up and say, "Whoa, family, enough is enough. God said, the word said, let's go back to what? Not what men said." Because as you can see through here, the controversy, we got a bunch of men giving their opinion on something that had already been established, that all were called. All have the right that whosoever, that anyone, those same words were spoken before. But we're still in dispute because man has an opinion. Somebody has to stand up and speak, not to dispute the opinions or the perceptions, but what it has to do is stand up and profess that God said. Let's stay in his word. Let's make for sure that he's the source of everything we do. Verse 8. So God, who knows the heart, acknowledged them by giving them the Holy Spirit just as he did us, and made no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. See, that wasn't man who did that. God did that. God set the standard. Watch, we can always give accolades to someone, a man, but we must get back to the truth. God is doing this thing, family. Not me, not you, not her, not him. God is doing this thing. He's been doing it from the beginning. It says he's the same, what? Yesterday, today, and forevermore. God is doing his thing. Me and Pastor Miracle were talking the other day about God doing a new thing. God doing a new thing. And, you know, and I had to share. I said, you know, well, if God is the same yesterday and forevermore, why would God be doing a new thing? Don't you think it's us that should be doing the new thing? That he's required us to step the game up and get in line with what has already been done, a new thing? Let's stop looking for a new thing and get back to the new thing, Jesus Christ. Because if we follow his example, his instruction, and his word, there's no question. There's no question. We do just what he told us to do. Verse 8 again. So God, who knows the heart, acknowledged them by giving them the Holy Spirit just as he did us. He is no respecter of person. What he did for you, he'll do for somebody else. And made no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. When? Now. Therefore, why do you test God by putting a yoke on the neck of the disciples, which neither our father nor were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall. There's that word again. See, shall is a promise. Shall is a promise. And a promise is an indication of what to come. A promise is that if you believe through grace that Jesus Christ is your Lord, Savior, he's your personal Savior all alone, that you shall be saved. That is an indication of what is to come. And guess what it said right there? Be saved in the same manner as they. See, there's not a different way to get saved. We all get saved the same way. There's not a special ceremony for bishops or a special ceremony for pastors or apostles or prophets. They were all saved the same way, by grace, by the blood. There's no, that doesn't make me any better than you just because I got saved in 1990 and you got saved in 2013. The only difference is that I've got a track record of walking with him. And prayerfully, I'm doing it much better because I've been doing it a longer time. But it doesn't give me any elevation. It just gives me preparation. It doesn't make me any greater or any lesser. What it does is it says that I put myself in a position of readiness, alert, ready to go forth. When? Right now, and do what God told me to do. Oh, yeah, I don't have time today. Make time. Oh, I'm tired today. Get more rest. See, that's preparation. That's us saying, you know what, it's my job to do this. Verse 12, then all the multitude kept silent and listened to Barnabas and Paul declaring how many miracles and wonders God had worked through them among the Gentiles. And after they had became silent, James answered, saying, men and brother, listen to me. Simon has declared how God at the first visited the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And with this, the words of the prophets agree, just as it is written. See, he learned a valuable lesson from Christ right there. Remember when Christ was on the mountain being tempted by the devil? He didn't talk about what he knew. He talked about what was written. See, he's showing us through example that we must follow instructions on what has already been written. The word of God is truth. The truth is Jesus Christ. And the truth will set you free. How do you get it? Through the word, through relationship with him. Through obedience and understanding that I cannot go by what you say or what you write. I have to go by what has been already written. See, there's example again. Christ showed us how to win the battle, how to not be tempted, how to not fall short of the glory of God by falling back on the word of God. What was written? 16, after this, I will return, and I will rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. I will rebuild its ruins. I will set it up so that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord, even all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord, who does all things. See, there's another instance. Get it out the way. Nobody can do it. Nobody has done it. Christ did it. Christ paid the price. Christ set it up. Christ established it. Not man. Not people. Not things. But God and God all by himself. He says, I will rebuild this ruin. That's a promise. He says, I will set it up. There's another promise. And then he gives the reason for it, so that all mankind may seek the Lord. Even, here he is, just to double confirm it all, he says, even all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord, who does all of these things. Nobody else did it. It was Christ. But who does all these things known to God from eternity are all his works. Whose works? Pastor E. No. All God's works. Ooh, glory. Therefore, I judge that, this is 19, I judge that we should not trouble those from among the Gentiles who are turning to God, but that we write to them to abstain from the things polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, from things strangled, from the blood. No, not the blood, from blood. For Moses is not, for both Moses has had throughout many generations those who preach him in every city, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath. Family, the word was given that we can have an example from everybody. Moses' word is not negated because we don't live by the law, because there are principles in Moses' word, because it's not Moses' word, it's God's word. And God's word will live. God's word will go forth. God's word will not return to who? Him void. But see, we get caught up in this logistical situation about law and spirit, and we miss the mark because now we don't want to, you know, some churches don't read the Old Testament. Some churches don't read the New Testament. Some churches don't do this and don't do that. No. It says that we should rely on the word of God. It didn't say old word, middle word, or it says the word. And we must accept this word as truth from Genesis to Revelation. And the truth, once you receive it as truth, that truth can set you free. When? Right now. Oh, yes, I heard you over there. Now I can do it next year. No, right now. Oh, I hear you over another line. You said, well, maybe I'll get a 2-year plan. No, right now is where God is calling us to move. When? Asking us to give. When? Asking us to go. When? Right now. No, not tomorrow. Not next week. Right now. God is requiring us to make a move and activate his faith in us right now. No longer can you wait around. No longer can you put it on hold. No longer can you expect another result. Because if you get the same result, that means you got to change your action. Because what you put in is just what you're getting out. If you're getting crap in, I mean, if you're getting crap out, I guarantee you, you're putting crap in. If you're being led by men's word, that's what's coming out of you, a man's word. If you're putting in the examples of this world, it says that we should resist the world. It says resist the devil and he will flee from you. That means that nothing else is even in the conversation with my life. There's nothing else that I judge my decisions by other than the uncompromisable word of Pastor Hamilton. No, the uncompromisable word of God. 19, therefore I judge that we should not trouble those from among the Gentiles who are turning to God, but that we write to them and abstain them from the polluted of idols, sexual immorality, from these strangled, and from blood. For Moses had taught throughout many generations those who preach him in every city, being read in synagogues every Sabbath. Then it pleased the apostles and the elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, who was also named Barsabas, and Silas, leading men among the brethren. They wrote this letter to them, the apostles, the elders, and the brethren, to the brethren who are of the Gentiles of Antioch, Syria, Sicilia, greetings. Since we have heard that some of you went out from us, have troubled you with words, unsettling your souls, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. It seemed good to us, being assembled with one accord. Oh, watch that again. Oh, let's stop right there. 25. It seemed good to us, being assembled with one accord. See, when decisions are made, we got to assemble on one accord. Yes, yes, you call the meeting. I know you did. Yes, it's at your house, but it's not your meeting. Yes, yes, that's your vision. Yes, 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 that's your vision. You brought it to the table, but it came from God, so it's really God's vision. He says that you will have the desires of your heart, but those desires come from having the heart of Christ. So if you got the heart of Christ, whose desires do you really have? You should have the desires of Christ. It seems good to us being assembled with one accord. See, we got to come on the same page. One Lord. 26, men who have risked their lives for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have therefore sent Judas and Silas, who will also report the same things by word of mouth. For it seemed good to be to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that you abstain from things offered to idols. That's the word. We should not serve anything above him, no idols, no cars, no houses, nothing shall be put in front of God, because God is intolerable of rivalry. That you abstain from the things offered to idols, from blood, from things strangled, and from sexual immorality. If you keep yourselves from these, you will do well. So when they were sent off, they came to Antioch, and when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the letter. When they had read it, they rejoiced over its encouragement. Remember, we talked about, it may be somebody that you need out of your life. The way we love them is through, the way we release them is through love, through encouragement. We talked about this last night also, is that you can actually get someone out of your life just by loving on them the way Christ would want you to. I got to get them out of my life. I can't have you around no more. But you don't throw them out. You must, first of all, encourage them, because they have the right to. You can't go off on them. Yes, you can't allow them to. Remember, we talked about it last week. You can't allow them back in your bank account. You can't give them access to your ATM. And you don't want them in your household. But you can't count them off. You can't throw them under the bus. We must still love and encourage all, with the mindset, family, that everyone will be saved. No, wait, say that again. That everyone will be saved. Now, Judas and Silas themselves, being prophets also, exhorted the brethren with many words and strengthened them. Here's another example, preparation. When you are trying to build somebody up, you must encourage them. Provoke to purpose. Hebrews 10:24. It says that we must provoke one another. We must incite one another through love and good works. If I'm going to show you how to do something, I got to love on you first. And then, you know, most people would like to see you show them how to do it instead of writing a list down. Step one, step two, step three, step four. They want to see you through example. Show me, well, how'd you get there? Oh, here's a map. A map doesn't, most people don't follow maps. They follow instructions, whether good or bad. God is telling us that we must start to follow good instructions. How do we follow good instructions? Get back on what was written. Follow who read it, who walked it, who lived it, who gave for it. Nothing but Jesus Christ. My life must be consumed with not the things of this world and not the opinions of this world, but by God and God only. It's your choice today. No. It's your charge today that he is the only source in your life. Come on, somebody try this with me. Try putting it first in everything and watch everything else work out. Put him first before everything else. How do I do that, Pastor E? Well, when something comes up, the first thing you do is go to him. I ain't got time always to go to. Yes, you do. If you got time to pick up a phone and call somebody else, you have time to pick up the phone and call Jesus. Call time management. See, for me to be effective, for me to be empowered in excellence, I have to do it according to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is Christ in me. He's the comforter. He shows me how to answer questions right. He gives me the right solutions. But most of us Don't rely on him until after it's all done. Lord, help me out of this. Lord, please forgive me for this. Lord, I didn't mean this. Lord, see, enough is enough. When we become conscious, when we make choices according to the word of God, we don't lean on our own understanding. We acknowledge him in everything we do. Then the Bible says he will, promise, direct your path. If you were given a prophecy and you're nowhere near to where that prophecy said you should be, it should go back to what you're giving your attention to. What are you trusting in with all your heart? What are you leaning on for understanding? That will be the answer to the question. Why am I not where God said I should be? Because we're not following instructions. We take away, we add, we eliminate, we translate. But God's word is the same. It doesn't change. We stand on the same word that is the truth. We'll get what the truth says we can have. When? Right now. By following instructions. See, you don't mind somebody. Let's just get this out there right now. I tell friends this all the time. I don't care how big you get. I don't care how much you elevate. I don't care how much you graduate. You are always going to mind somebody. You're going to have a boss. You're going to have somebody you answer to. You're going to have somebody who's in control. You're going to have somebody. There's always going to be somebody over you. Why not just make it God now and everybody else just falls into place? Romans 13 says that he set in place all authority. All authority is by him. And then it goes a little farther to say, by not obeying the authority who is God, you now disrespect God. So why not just get it out the way and say, you know what, Lord, you are the source of everything. I'm putting you first because I'm supposed to trust in you with all my heart. That means your thinking. That means your consciousness. That means your willingness. That means your obedience. All those factors come into his will and not yours. Oh, we'll take a new job, and we'll follow that supervisor or that manager around because we think that's going to get us in and get us a better position or get us longer lunch breaks. I'm here to tell you today that if you want more, make God the source. Make him the manager, the employer. Make him the source of everything and watch everything else fall into place. I can testify today that my life is falling into place because I am following his instructions. I can use this analogy because I didn't desire to be single, but I had been through so many things in space, matter, things, so many distractions, so many hurts that I had given up on it. My way. See, watch this. My way. So I now develop my marriage and my relationship with God. I didn't go looking for nothing. I know I found a good thing. I'll testify to that today. I found a good thing. And favor is all over me. But it didn't come by going and digging and searching. It came by relating with God and making him first in my life. Planned it out. I couldn't have called it. It just was there. I found it. I found a good thing because he positioned it. Because of my obedience to doing, to loving him and following him as the source of everything. And it's just coming up. A new church building popping up. A new home popping up. Things are popping up. Not by me looking, but by me giving to God all the glory, all the praise, all the honor, because he is the source of my everything. Everything else is just falling into place, not by my will, but by his will. See, when you decrease of self, that means, you know what? And family, let's keep it real today. We all say that. I'm dying of self. I'm dying of self. But do we really die of self? Because when you die of self, stuff you like, you don't like anymore. Not because you lost the taste for it, because you choose not to do it anymore. You made a conscious declaration to God, a commitment to him to say no more. I won't, I won't do it. Not because of me, because of God. I promise God. Just try it and watch it happen immediately. When you give him your all, he'll give you his all. By what? Following instructions. Verse 36. No, I'm sorry. Back 34. However, it seemed good to Silas to remain there. No, 33. And after they had stayed there for a time, they were sent back with greetings from the brothers to the apostles. However, it seemed good to Silas to remain there. Paul and Barnabas also remained in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. Then after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us now go back and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of God and see how they are doing." It's the word. See, when you plant something, you have to go back. They don't have to come to you. It's our responsibility as disciples to now go back to where we went at first to make disciples and make sure they're still in line, that they haven't changed the teaching, that they completed their graduation. It's our responsibility to check on those that God has put under our responsibility. I know he's been going to church 25 years, and yes, he quotes scriptures, but it's still your responsibility to make sure he's where God said he should be, because you are now responsible. When we go out and make disciples, you're not just making them, kicking them out by themselves. You are now responsible to hold them accountable, and vice versa, them hold you accountable too. You accountable to them accountable to you. Because just because you're the head doesn't mean that you're not accountable anymore. It actually puts you in more accountability. It actually puts you in more accountability. Because now you're not only accountable for you, but you're accountable for others. Now, Barnabas was determined to take with them John, called Mark. But Paul insisted that they should not take with them the one who had departed from the Pamphylia and had not gone with them to work. See, if you're not willing to work with God, if you're not willing to follow instructions, you will get sat down. That's order. You will get put in the right place. That's order. You will have to answer to somebody. That's order. No ifs, ands, no buts about it. But Paul insisted that they should not take with them the one who had departed from the Pamphylia and not gone with them to the work. Then the contention became so sharp that they parted with one another, and so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and departed, being commended by the brethren to the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Sicily, strengthening the churches. Paul never, see, as we close this chapter, it ends at a very prolific point. Paul never graduated, neither will you. Silas never graduated, neither would you. We must continue to go and make disciples.
Okay.
We must continue. We must continue to go and work this process. There is no graduation. Come on, let's get that out the way now. There is no elevation that gets you out of having to do the work of the ministry. When you say yes to Jesus, you say yes to his will, yes to his way, yes to his word, and it must stay consistent. You're not getting off the hook. You got to get stronger. You got to get more prepared. So now you can find the potential, your purpose in God. And your purpose will now get you ready to get prepared for the potential, the call. And when you get prepared and have went through, come on, somebody, who have went through the trials and the tribulations, now you arrive to a point of positioning. Positioning yourself in place to receive the promise. that if you do follow my instructions and do my word exactly as I said it, I'll give you whatever it is, the desire of your heart. Watch this, though. The desire of your heart goes right back to him because it's his heart in you. So you're just really living out what God wants you to have anyway. It's already done. See, when you become transformed by the renewing of your mind, you now let the mind of Christ, the heart of Christ be in you, that you now move according to what Christ would do. You'll answer questions the way Christ would have answered. You'll treat people the way Christ treated people. You'll go everywhere. You'll go everywhere that he tells you to go immediately. No longer will we live by fear, pain, and doubt, but we will walk in our birthrights. We will regain our confidence in God. Confidence. Confidence to walk as Christ walked. We'll regain courage. Courage to win souls. Hope. You got hope for a better now. Not a better tomorrow, but a better now. Belief. You now are instituted back into belief that Christ is your personal Lord. And trust. Trust in God as the source of your hope, of your everything. See, trust must be completed and not wavering. Trust must be all understanding and acknowledged. Solely on God. God must be the complete source. Not just part-time, not just sometime, but he must be the complete source. No compromise. If he said it, it's done. If he said it, I'm going to do it. If he did it, I'm going to replicate it. I am going to follow God as my source, so everything I do is through the potential, the preparation, and the promise of God. When? Right now. See, there has to become a transference of power. If God is the source of everything, he's my energy, he's my light. What do I want to keep my tank full of? No. See, we got to stop running on low octane gas because the source is high octane. He is unlimited. He has all power, all wisdom, all knowledge. So why not fill your tank with the anointing of Jesus Christ? Why not get back to the basics? Eliminate all the blah, blah, and all the hoopla, and get back into the realm of Christ being my source for everything I need in life. I don't have to worry no more because Christ is my source. I don't have to doubt no more because Christ is my source. I don't even have to come up with a master plan because Christ already did it. I just have to get in line through finding my potential, going through my preparation, and standing in position to receive my promise. When? Right now. Now is the time. He's calling you. I know you heard him. Now is the time. Enough is enough. No more no more doubt. No more contemplation. Dedication. Obligation. Commitment to him. The way he committed to you is the way we must commit back to him. We sing this song all the time. Less of me and more of you is what I need. That has to be our cry every day. Not just once, but all day, every day, all day, every day. Less of me and more of you. Less of me and more of you. Oh, it won't hurt you to recite that. Less of me and more of you. Less of me and more of you. That now professes to him that, Lord, I'm speaking in my words. And my words have power. My words carry life. I speak less of me and more of you. That's what I need. That's what I have to have. It is an ingredient in my daily walk to have less of me and more of him. And he can do it for you too. It's a choice. It's a choice to follow instructions. He gave us his word, family, not just to read. He gave us his word, family, not just to paint pictures or make copies and put them in frames and put it here or put it there or add, put it on cards. He gave us this word that we can the word and embrace it as truth. People say, well, I've never seen God. I have. I see him every day in the word. See, that's easy. You can't see God in the word. If you see his word through perception, you can. Because no longer is it the letter that kills, but it's the spirit that gives life. You can now see God through his word. Oh, I've never seen faith before. Yes, I have. I see faith every day when I see the word of God. Because faith now changes from the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things I see, to now on my blackboard of faith in my mind, because I can make the letter transform into the picture. Remember table? It didn't look like T-A-B-L-E. It looked like table. Chair. It didn't look like C-H-A-I-R. It looked like the chair. God's word is the same, family. We got to get this word so much in us, so much absorbed in us, so much as the truth that it begins to show us the perception, the picture of what the word was meant to have. Yes, you saw God. You see him every day in the word. Yes, you saw miracles. You see him every day in the word. Yes, you see raising of the dead, casting out spirits. You see it every day in the word. But we want something tangible in the world. But it says, be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, meaning you don't think the same way, because the old way told you had to see it in the flesh. The new way shows you how to perceive it through the word. Transformed by the renewing of your mind, meaning you constantly renew your mind through the word. Stop reading Agatha Christie or any of the other novel writers. Read the word of God. It is a love story. It is an action film. It is a drama. Everything you could ever want is in the Bible. No doubt. Hands down. Here, do that with me. But we must, family, go forward embracing. You know when you embrace something, you put your arms around it and you pull it in as tight as you can? When you embrace something, you take it in as personal. You take it in as yours. You make it in oneness. Because he's what? The source of everything you will ever need. Heavenly Father God, we thank you today, Lord. We thank you for an unreturning word. We thank you for a word that will come back to us and give us power. We thank you for a word that will give us immediate, accelerated change. We thank you, Lord, that, Lord, we come together on one accord, unified with the power of one, being you the source. Lord, we pray that, Lord, you just transform us. We pray, Lord, that you just deliver us. We pray, Lord, that you will show us as we follow instructions how you'll bless us in so many ways. We thank you today, Lord. We praise you today, Lord. We magnify your name, Jesus. And all of the agreement said, amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That was a word, Pastor Hamilton. We have quite a few.
Amen.
Others. That was a blessed word. We study this word and then live it and walk it. So without further ado, we got quite a few on the line. So as we normally do, we go to the ones that have called in today that we don't know. So we're going to go to our sister, McMullen, 111-111. Your line is open.
Move on, Sister Ruby.
Okay, then we'll go to 336-5054.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
We're blessed. Who are we speaking with?
Yes, ma'am. This is Brother Muhammad calling in today.
Oh, okay, Brother Muhammad. So God bless. Love to hear from you. Did you have any word or comment? Or?
Yes, I do. First of all, I would like to say all glory be to God, our Father. And Brother Hamilton, the Holy Spirit just put on my heart, man, to call in to say to you, I love you, brother. I love you, man, and go forth with the word, man, and continue to keep feeding the sheep with that which you know to be God and the truth, brother, because I tell you that message today is absolutely on time for today, and it is the message that we need right now. So I was just calling in, brother, to just share my love with you and to let you know that I love you, and I love you all.
I love you too, man. God bless you, brother.
God bless you, brother. And one more thing before I go, Brother Hamilton, that day of graduation is going to come for you. The Holy Spirit put into my heart that it's another level that he want to take you. It's another level that he want to take you because of your boldness and because of your non-fear for man. He would like to elevate you even higher than you have even elevated yourself. And in due time, he is going to graduate you.
Ooh,
and
hallelujah.
As we all, my brother, I tell you, will be saved, we also, too, shall be transformed because we are transformers. And that's the day of graduation when you finally transform into that Christ that you ought to be. That's the whole thing about this whole thing. Is that our life is Christ. So as Christ, my brother, I would like to say I love you, my brother in Christ.
I love you. I love you too, my brother. God bless you.
God bless. Thank
God
you
bless
so much
all.
For calling in, Muhammad. Prophet Darlene Davis.
I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praises shall continually be in my mouth. God bless everyone. I thank God. I thank God. Hallelujah. I thank God for this broadcast. I just thank God for all week long. We've been having a blessed time all month long. Thank God for this teaching. I thank God for you, Pastor Hamilton. I just thank God for the teaching. I just thank God you are provoking me. So I just thank God for the teaching and continue to let God use you and continue to go forth. And truly, we must put him first. We must put God first in everything
hallelujah.
We do. We can do nothing without him, but we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. God bless each and every one of you. Thank God for Pastor Bernard and each and every person. God bless.
God bless you, too. We love you.
Okay, praise the Lord. We're going to Pastor Miracle. Pastor Miracle.
Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. You know, I'm just so grateful today. And, you know, Evangelist Bernard, God bless you. Sister Ruby, God bless you. I'm grateful, you know, for this word, you know, to follow instructions and how important that is. If we learn to follow instructions, it's just life-changing, you know, and it just stems from the smallest thing in our lives just all the way, you know, up to the things that we see as more significant. But the Bible teaches us that the little things affect everything. And so this word has just truly provoked me today, and I'm thanking God for the continued series on the book of Acts. And how detailed Pastor Hamilton was in his instructions and, you know, just in his information, you know, concerning the book. And just thanking God. And I'm always truly, you know, blessed by the ministry and just very grateful by how God uses him and, of course, this entire New Destiny family. So I love y'all, and I'm just filled right now, overflowing with a renewed commitment and provoking to follow instructions. Amen. God bless y'all.
We love you.
Amen. I love
Amen.
You too.
Well, that's all that needs to be said. Oh, goodness. We're going to Minister Creedy. You know, I get a name wrong sometimes, Pastor Hamilton. Minister Creedy or?
Minister Creesha.
I got it, Minister Creesha.
Yes,
Cretia, Minister Cretia. I just wanted to say that, you know, the word blessed me because the word do says obedience is better than sacrifice, and you spoke of instructions, and that's pretty much being obedient to the will of God. Hallelujah. Not our will, but God's will. And I like to read books, and especially books that other ministers, pastors may have been enlightened to write. But at the same time, I know no book takes the place of the Bible. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Because that the word of God is a solid foundation, and he'll give us revelation of whatever. You know, it's okay to read books, but, you know, that was enlightened that you brought that out, because they have some people that, you know, young in the faith and in the spirit, you know, they'll base their beliefs on books instead of the Bible. So, amen. That was enlightened. Hallelujah. Thank God for
you. Hallelujah. We love you, Sister Minister Cretia.
Amen. Love you, too.
God bless. We got a few more. We're going to Sister Albertine. Okay, then we're going to Mother Cannon. Mother Cannon, would you like to have words?
Yes. I would just like to say praise the Lord to everyone, and I certainly enjoyed what I've heard today. And I just want more of Jesus and less of me. God bless you all.
Hallelujah.
And have a wonderful day.
God
Bye-bye.
Bless you. We
God
love you.
Mother Cannon. Sister Patrice. Sister Patrice. Okay, we're going to try Sister Dawn. Okay, no. Okay, we're going to Brother Clarence. Brother Clarence.
How you doing? First of all, I say praise the Lord first, but what Pastor Hammond preached today, it's been on my spirit for some time. Matter of fact, today has crossed my mind, but I'm still shaking behind my mom's death. I don't know what I'm going to do with courts and all this sort of stuff, and it's kind of like hard to do right now. I just need a little bit of prayer, and that's basically it, you know, because I'm facing a lot of different things. I don't know which direction to go in. And that's basically it.
Pastor Hamilton. Yeah, we hear you, Pastor Hamilton.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, he said he wanted.
Hey, man. Well, Brother Clarence, we've been talking here in Houston, and we're still looking forward to connecting and hooking up. We are working on some transportation to get you to church Sunday, but we want to pray now, and we want to let you know we are here for you here in Houston, and we can go with you. Amen. Heavenly Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you right now for the commitment of Brother Clarence, that even though going through a circumstance, he's still here to rejoice your name. Lord, we ask you right now, Lord, that you fill his spirit. Any lack, any space that is not filled with you, we ask you to fill it right now. Heavenly Father God, we know that you are in control of everything that happens, Heavenly Father God. So we just give you the right way to do what you do. But we now want to do what we're supposed to do, Lord. So we step in agreement, Lord, that we will do better to be what you call us to be. That, Lord, we'll get out of the not knowing and the hopefuls, and we'll get right into the commitment of you. We pray for Brother Clarence right now, that, Lord, as you touch his spirit, as you confirm him through this word, that he steps into his calling, that he honors his mother through the things she's been praying for him for in years. And we ask that your anointing fall on him right now in the name of Jesus. Wake up.
Amen.
Get up. Move now in Jesus' name. We love you, brother,
Amen.
And I'll call you after this call.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, we're going to go back to with the Skype number, 111-1111. Your line is open. Okay. We're going to go back to Sister Albertine. Sister Albertine.
Praise the Lord, Saints. How are you guys today? Pastor Hamilton, Sister Ruby, and Evangelist Bernard, that was really a great message, and I'm truly blessed, and I thank you so much for that word today. God bless you.
God bless you too, my sister. We love you.
Love you too.
Okay, we're going to try Sister Patrice. Sister Patrice? Okay, Sister Dawn? Okay, we're not getting, but we tried to get him there. We're going back. I see Evangelist Bernard, your line is open, so you can have words or comments or tell them what's going on for the weekend. Evangelist Bernard? Okay. Okay, well, I think we got everybody, Pastor Hamilton. The word was just a blessing. I didn't want to take up time because I'm always being blessed by the anointing and the way the Lord has taught you how to bring forth to his people. And for me, it's just like it's heaven sent on earth, his precious people. So I say we just thank you for your obedience, and we ask the Lord to pour back into you what you have
brought out. Jesus.
Thank you. We just love you for your faithfulness, and we're still excited about all these weddings coming up soon, and the Lord is blessing. So,
Amen.
It's just been awesome, and we just thank the Lord for Pastor Miracle coming on. She's so faithful and anointed, and just a wonderful team, y'all, the Lord is putting together. Only Jesus can do it.
Only Jesus can do it.
Jesus can do it. Hallelujah, according to the Bible. So we're excited. We're excited for each and every one that have called in on the broadcast today. We know you could be doing other things, and we thank you so very much. We're so thankful and tremendous support that you have given to this broadcast. And we thank our listeners in the chat room. We had one, Pastor Hamilton was on. With guest 1195, we thank you for listening and tuning in the whole time to a time of reflection, Provoke Friday, with Pastor Edward Hamilton out of Houston, Texas. And then what is your new ministry, Pastor Hamilton?
Now Christian Fellowship, and now means not our will.
Okay, not our will, but thy will be done. Isn't that awesome, Saint? We're excited. So I'm going to try and get Evangelist Bernard. She got on, turned the line up, her baby. Evangelist Bernard? Okay, then. Maybe the baby, you know, she had a great-grandbaby, and I think it was coming home from the hospital today. So she's probably there indulging and getting the baby up, but she's on the line, and she wanted me, before I go back to you, Pastor Hamilton, she's going to host a Saturday morning, a revelation. When's that noise come? She's going to host Saturday morning, a time of reflection, the revelation, and they overcame, and that's with Minister Billy Burns, and it's 5 a.m. our time. 7 a.m. Central Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Time. And she wants to come on testimony, support, or whatever. She said, you know, Evangelist Bernard said, don't miss out, because you're going to miss out on the Lord coming, and a special treat for everybody that comes on tomorrow. So she'll be hosting for that. And, you know, and then again, we have Sunday morning early prayer, 7 o'clock California time. And it's a corporate prayer. So if the Lord wake you up, please feel free to come in and pray. We're on about 30, 35 minutes as the Lord sees fit, that we can open up ourselves and be fresh and ready to take our anointing into our various houses of worship and prayer. And with that, we're just so thankful for Pastor Hamilton being so faithful. I mean, he's been on there a long, long time, and I mean every Friday is Provoke Friday, and just all these different maps and steps, how the Holy Ghost has anointed him to share with us as his family. You know, he said, hello, family. You know, he always said we love his family. So with no further ado, I'm going to turn it back into your hands, Pastor Hamilton. Thank you so much for being so faithful to the work of the kingdom of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior.
Amen, family. You are truly loved and appreciated. Well, we thank God for everybody. It looks like we're getting another early Friday. So I'm going to end us in prayer. I just want to say enjoy your weekend, but tell somebody about Jesus. Go out and make disciples. There's a young man out there that's hurting, that's needing someone just to say you're loved. It could change their whole revelation. So, Heavenly Father God, we thank you today, Lord. We just praise you. We worship you. We pray for the baby that's with Evangelist Bernard today, Lord, the anointing fall on that situation, that there's just peace in the household, and that baby is under the anointing right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for a successful week. We thank you for an awesome Friday. That, Lord, you have touched us with your word. You've given us the ability to leave this place different than we came, change, rearrange, and transform by the renewing of our minds. We thank you, we praise you, we magnify you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Love
amen.
You guys, and we'll talk to you tomorrow morning.
Okay, God bless. And we just want to say we thank Mother Charity. She's on every day. She seems like she's been having problems on the line today. She's been dropping off and on. But Mother Charity, we thank you so much for being on the line today with us. God bless. And we hope to see you soon. God bless everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in. And with that, we're going to close out. And we're going to close out on It's Working. Put that seed in the ground.
For favor, this is my season to reap what I have sown. This is my season for grace, for favor. This is my season to reap what I have sown. I haven't been perfect, but I sure been faithful. See, God's got a purpose, yes, and I know he's able. I've got a seed in the ground that he's blessing, no more stressing. I've got a seed in the ground. Now I'm knowing and it's showing my feet for grace, for favor. It only works when we all do it.
This is my season.
To do what?
To be what I have known.
Come on, you say. This is my season for grace. For what else?
For favor.
God is leaning in my direction. So prophesy, I said he's leaning. In whose direction?
In my direction.
Come on, you ain't no me to say it. You got to say it, say it.
He's leaning
in my direction.
In my direction.
Cause this is my seed for grace. Favor.
Yeah.
This is my seed. Come on, y'all. Will you raise your hand and say, I've got a seed in the ground. Come on, open your mouth and say, I've got a seed in the ground. It's already getting better.
Okay, that was "Is Working" by William Murphy. God bless. Have a great weekend. We hope to see you Saturday morning. Vandis Bernard will be hosting Minister Billy Burns, A Time That They Overcame. And that's 5 o'clock our time. California time, 7 o'clock Central time, and 8 o'clock Eastern time. Thank y'all so much for tuning in. God bless.